see this number out this morning. If your Bible's ready to study, what a blessed day it is that we can come together on the first day of the week to worship our God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll be turning to the book of Mark in the fourth chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. And while you're getting your Bibles, if you're visiting with us, we want you to feel at ease as you make our visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true. And yet at the same time, I'm obligated to preach the Word of God. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Daniel has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. You can confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you've left Christ and need to be restored to Him and this church family, we'd be glad to pray with and for you and meet whatever spiritual needs you may have. Good to have the Cliffords, Stephen and his wife with us, and others visiting. Always a joy to have some visit with us. Good to have Pam here as well. I may have given away a surprise, but glad to see her. In the book of Mark, in the fourth chapter, if you will, notice with me one verse for our thought, for our study. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, notice the statement, "On the same day when evening had come, he had said to them, let us cross over to the other side." When you make a study of the Word of God, you will find that Jesus had been teaching the multitudes at this time. He had been going about preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching people what would be happening in His kingdom. And I try to imagine what it would have been like to have been there and to have heard the Son of God teach. Could you imagine Jesus on the seashore of Galilee as He's teaching and proclaiming the gospel, and there stood individuals and multitudes listening to Him as He proclaimed the kingdom? But I want to take time for just a moment to notice a statement in the reading that I read in your hearing. And I believe this statement can bring great meaning to us in our day and time. If you take your Bible in the book of Mark in the fourth chapter, if you look at verse 35, look at this statement, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, I want us to observe that statement carefully. And at first, it might not seem like there's a whole lot there in just that one statement. But I want us to look at that statement when Jesus told the disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." In other words, let us get into the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. The first thing I see that implies is that Jesus was going to leave the multitude. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus loved the multitude, and Jesus continued to teach to the multitude. And I'm certain He would have liked to have stayed longer, but He turned to His disciples and He said, "It is time to go." He had work to do on the other side. He was needed on the other side of Galilee. And the fact that He left does not mean that He did not love those He left behind. In fact, the business, Jesus would come back and Jesus would continue to proclaim the Word all throughout the region of Galilee around the sea. So there's no doubt in my mind Jesus loved the disciples and that Jesus loved the multitude, but there came a time that He said, "It is time to go." But then if you take your Bible, notice if you will, in verse 37, that a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already feeling. But He was asleep in the stern on the pillow. And they awoke Him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" I want you to take note that Jesus was tired and weary. He'd been teaching and traveling. In that day, you walked everywhere you went. You didn't have air conditioners. And there stood Jesus in the heat of the day, performing miracles and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom as He taught the people. And now Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Jesus needed rest. And He was so tired that when the wind began to rise and the waves began to fill the boat, Jesus continued to sleep until the disciples awoke Him and said, "Do you not care that we're perishing?" And Jesus said, "Peace be still." I've often thought about that statement where Jesus said, "Let us cross over." Why, Jesus? Jesus wants and needs to rest. And I thought about the fact that Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side. But then I stopped and I thought about that statement. There's others who could have made that statement. And let's take that a step further and consider with me that many in Bible days long for the day they could go to the other side. And this is in reference to heaven. You know, we have this life on earth, but there is life beyond the grave. And many times we're weary, we're troubled, and we long for heaven. And you can find in Bible days individuals that long to cross over to the other side. They desire to be with God. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look, if you will, in the 23rd Psalm. And we all know the 23rd Psalm. It's one of the first ones we memorize. Sometimes it's one of the last ones we hear. And in the 23rd Psalm, you remember at this time, notice the words of David. David said in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." But then drop down to verse 6 and notice the statement. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Notice David had a desire to cross to the other side. David had a desire to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David describes being with God, and he uses that word, forever. And I've thought about in the house of God, David desired to be with God and be at rest. And so David said he longed to cross to the other side. But then if you take your Bible, turn, if you will, to the book of Philippians in the first chapter. And notice with me what the Apostle Paul had to say. In the Philippian letter and the first chapter, notice, if you will, verse 21. In verse 21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Look at that phrase, a desire to depart. What is it, Paul? Paul says, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ." And look at that last line, "which is far better." Paul had a desire. He longed to be with Christ. And Paul said that it is far better to be with Christ than anything this world has to offer. Look again, if you will, at what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul sees that his time on earth is drawing nigh and that he'll eventually be put to death. And he said, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Look at that statement, if you will. He said, "I have kept the faith." But notice, my friend, he said in verse 6, "the time of my departure." You know, that's a nautical term. It's just like when Jesus crossed over. What Paul is saying is it's time to get in the ship and cross over. The departure is when someone gets in the ship and leaves and there are people waving goodbye, and yet there are people on the other side waving hello. And so for Paul, he said that he was ready to cross over to the other side. He had kept the faith. He had fought the good fight. He'd finished the race. Have you ever thought about that, my friend? That there was a man that longed for heaven. There was a man that longed to be with God, which he said is far better. But then if you take your Bible, you can turn to the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter, we read Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember the prayer that Jesus prayed? He was fearful of the cross, or he at least was looking at the cross, and he was asking the Father, "If it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But if not," he said, "Thy will be done." Now he wanted to go back and be with the Father. He dreaded the cross. But then when he died on the cross, what did he say? "It is finished." And then 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. And in Acts chapter 1, we read where He ascended back to heaven. He went back to the other side. Now, what I want to do is take those lessons, make application to our life in the lesson series. I want to raise a question to you. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get weary? Have you ever been hurt? And have you ever desired rest? Just some time where there's no chaos in life? You know, as long as we're on this earth, I've come to learn one thing. There will be trouble. Every day we'll have some trouble. Not a day goes by that there's not something that goes wrong. You can get up in the morning, your coffee maker work, and everything just be fine. But before noon, something will go wrong. Just mark it down. And every day has its trouble. But then when we think about how life can become so chaotic, and there's so many problems and so many trouble, and we see how decadent and how ungodly the world has become. Have you ever desired a place of rest? And to know that God has provided heaven as a place of rest, and that heaven is a place of no sorrow or pain. Look in the Revelation letter in the 21st chapter, and notice what John said about heaven. He said, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Now I want to ask you a question. Do you long for heaven? Now I'm not asking, do you want to die right now? I'm asking, do you look forward to the day that you can be with God? There were many here that hurt, and they longed to cross over to the other side because they longed for a place of rest. But have you ever stopped to think about the other side? Have you ever stopped to imagine how beautiful heaven must be? In the Roman letter in the 8th chapter, when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, he makes a statement that is very powerful. In fact, the business in Romans 8:18, he said, "I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, this is a man who'd been stoned, who'd been whipped, who'd been left for dead, who'd been shipwrecked. And notice what he said, "The sufferings of this present time is not worthy." It's not even worthy to be compared to what heaven will be like. And the glory that will be revealed in us. I like that. In us. Then take your Bible and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice that again in verse 17, he said, "For our light affliction." Now what do we just say he'd gone through, and yet he calls it a light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's temporary. Why? Because this life is temporary. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now then, if you think about Paul's words in Romans 8, in 2 Corinthians 4, you see a man who suffered many trials and heartaches, and what does he say? It's light affliction compared to heaven. Whatever you endure in this life, whatever you have to face in the form of persecution for being a Christian, whatever things you may have to endure by being a child of God, Paul says it's worth it. Because heaven is waiting on the other side. Now, when you think about the other side, in the abode of the redeemed in heaven, what does Luke 16 say? There will be joy and comfort. Remember what Abraham said of Lazarus in Luke 16 when he's talking to the rich man? He said, "Now he is comforted." Think about the fact that our bodies are going to go back to dust, but the soul will go on to God. And then on the judgment day, when the body is raised up and body and soul are reunited, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll be given a new body. You ever thought about a new body? A body that won't wear out? A body that won't hurt? Now, some of us went out to the Williams house and Travis and I and Dwayne played football with some young people, teenagers. We looked like Tennessee Volunteers. We just played awesome until Dwayne pulled a hamstring and couldn't run anymore. Travis hurt himself. I hurt myself. And we're still recovering from that football game. And it was only one hand touch. And you know what I learned about the body? The body starts to hurt a lot more the older you get. Sometimes I'll wake up with my knee hurting and I just say, well, I'll get used to that pain. But in heaven, what does he say? You'll be given a new body. Now, I don't know what kind of body it'll be, and Paul said, you leave that up to God. But I want you to think about a body that won't wear out and a body that won't hurt. But that brings up another thought in our study. Have you ever thought about those on the other side, what they would say if they could talk to us right now? Those who have gone on and their soul is in paradise, what would they say to us? If you take your Bible, notice with me, if you will, in the Ephesian letter and the third chapter. And Paul is not talking about heaven here, but I want to use it in the context without misrepresenting Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice verse 20. And this is what he's talking about, the love of Christ. And notice what he says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I like that phrase. And he's talking about here. But I want you to think about that in terms of heaven. Can you imagine how great heaven will be? I think some of us have something of heaven. We don't understand it, so we think it's going to be boring. I'll tell you, there's nothing boring about being in the presence of God. When all the people ever see the presence of God in Scripture, they bow down. They're in awe of Him. Just as we should be in awe of Him. And I want you to think about however great you think heaven is, notice that it's going to be exceedingly abundantly above what you think. It's going to be that far better, as Paul described. But I'll tell you what those in hell would say. Those in heaven would say heaven is all you could dream of, but those in hell would say the exact opposite. Don't come here. Because this is worse than you can imagine. And so my plea is that we live so as to go to the other side. And to the brokenhearted, every pain here is worth heaven. To the discouraged, I say, don't quit. Because we're a day closer to meeting our God than we were yesterday. We're almost there. In the Hebrew letter in the 12th chapter, when the apostle or the writer, in the Hebrew writer says in verse 1, he said, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're a day closer. We've run another lap in this life. And He says, you run the race with endurance. Don't quit running. Don't become discouraged. He said, you're almost to the other side. Jesus called the disciples and said, let us cross over to the other side. One day He's going to call us. And the question is, will He call us to come over and be with Him forever, or will He tell us to depart because we've lived a life contrary to His will? Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, notice, if you will, the statement that is made in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's the saddest phrase, I think, in the Scripture. Depart from me. Don't cross over. And you know what I find comfort in? Is the hope of the other side. And I tremble for those who are not following the Lord. And I tremble for those who are without hope, who live as though they don't think they'll ever stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We need to live so as to hear Jesus call and say, come, receive rest, come over to the other side. We've had a few people pass recently from Eastside. When we were standing in front of Mayola Johnson's casket, Sam made a statement. He said, she's not dead, she's just crossed over. I have a question for you. Are you ready to cross over to the other side? I'll tell you something. With all this world has and the joy we can have here, nothing compares to what heaven will be like. And don't let anybody or anything cause you to miss heaven. Because it's not worth it. Nothing here is worth losing your soul. There's nothing this world has to offer worth eternity. And what I beg and what I plead people to do is be prepared to cross over to the other side. I say that because I'm concerned about souls and I'm concerned about my own. And what I want to do is in that day be able to look in my Father's face and hear Him say, well done. Come, receive rest in the house of the Father. And to be with loved ones for all eternity. And if I've missed that, then my friend, I don't care what I've accomplished here, it's not worth anything. It doesn't matter in hell what your accomplishments were on earth because you're separated from God. In hell, you could have had all the fun that you've had on earth. But you'll spend eternity regretting you didn't have a relationship with God. And you'll regret that you weren't ready to cross over and be ready to meet the Lord. Because hell is a place of unrest. Heaven is where we go to be with our Father and have rest. Hell is eternal death. Heaven, there is no more death. Hell is eternal pain. Heaven, as John said, there is no more pain. Hell is separation from God. Heaven is where God wipes away your tears. I thought of Mayola again, and I mentioned this in the funeral. I read Psalm 121 to her up at the hospital. And tears just started rolling down her eyes. And she asked me if I would wipe her face. And then I thought what it would have been like when God wiped away. Oh, I'd rather have God wipe away my tears than a preacher. And I want to be with God. If you're here this morning, we ask, are you ready to cross over to the other side? And we pray that you're ready. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.